AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. It is Memorial Day 2022, and we are taking time today to remember fallen servicemen and women, but we are also taking time for a trip down memory lane to show appreciation for our military. And with today being the unofficial start of summer, we'll take a look at the summer fuel price outlook.
From the unofficial first day of official summertime in the USA via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson. Then it's Rachel Pettit, director for the Farmer Veteran Fellowship Fund. Later, Jordan Fife, the president of trading at BioUrja. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, brother. Hey, happy Memorial Day. I hope things are going
happy
well.
Happy Memorial Day. Yeah, oh, yeah. It's going great. It's going great. Yeah. How about you?
Very good. Well, very good. Very good. At some point during the show this morning, this show, at some point during this show right now, I'm actually going to be at the ceremony in my hometown of Oxford Junction, Iowa, at the Mayflower Cemetery.
Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh. During this show. Fortunately, we've got some content ready to go, and so I can go do that.
So you can be the grand marshal, the grand poobah.
No, that's not what
if
I'm
you
saying.
Like. That's what I'm imagining. Like the no. sort of
I'm standing in the back,
a Cadillac standing with the top down, festooned with flowers and
no. Standing in the back, pair of shorts, pair of flip flops, paying my respects. That's okay. All it is, buddy. That's all right. It is. Yeah, that'll that's work. All we need to do.
That's what this day is for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what today is for, and it is to show our respect, and it's a responsibility. I've got a few comments about this at the bottom of the hour, but it's a responsibility that we all share, and to show respect for the servicemen and women that died in the line of duty. That's what Memorial Day is all about. And over the years, of course, Memorial Day has morphed into this federal celebration, you know, federal holiday and a celebration for the entire country to welcome in the start of summer. What a way to recognize those that made the ultimate sacrifice for us.
Indeed. Well, and my beloved parents last week embarked on a paddle boat cruise from Memphis down to New Orleans. And along the way, my dad was texting me pictures of these Civil War monuments and battlefields and, you know, hilltops and things with texts that, and I'm not sure that a text can sort of fully capture what he was trying to convey to me. But he found it very moving, and I got a bit of a history lesson, and that's pertinent because Memorial Day was started Decoration Day initially. In the wake of the Civil War itself. So a pretty appropriate time for him to be visiting such sites.
Right. Yeah. You know, when I think about Memorial Day, I think about the ceremony at the cemetery there in Oxford Junction. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. But you also think about the ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery in Arlington. And the first soldier buried in Arlington is Private William Christman, and he was buried on May 13th, 1864. You know, it was a Civil War cemetery is what it started out as, and for anybody that has been there, it's such a moving sight, and it kind of weighs on you as you are walking around the cemetery and trying to take it all in.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah, yep. So what else is happening, man?
Well, here's my thought. Can we just I'll be honest. It's a day off for us. I don't know what's going on in the news.
Right.
But there are a few things that I just want to bounce off of you from last week's news, okay? On Friday last week, we reported mortgage rates beginning to soften.
Yeah.
After hitting levels unseen in more than a decade, the housing market does seem to be swinging back at least a little bit in the buyer's direction.
Right. Oh, I think it is. I think it is. The housing starts, new home sales are, I'm not going to say that they're falling off a cliff, but they are slowing down. Also, one of the interesting notes is almost 20% of the houses on market have seen at least one price reduction now. And you think about what it was in the heat of the housing market boom, where a house would go on the market and within 24 hours, it was a full ask offer or an ask plus offer on the house. And it so we backed off of that. It's not, I wouldn't say that it's a bad housing market yet, Davis. I wouldn't say that
certainly
at all.
Not. No.
But the froth that was in the market has certainly come out of it.
And I wonder if you would put on your economist hat for a moment, what that might mean. Is that a signal that we can take? We spoke, it was on the afternoon show on, Thursday last week, Dan Huber. He made the comment. He feels like maybe bond market action is suggesting we might have seen the worst of inflation. I don't know if I share that opinion or not. But does this housing market have anything to say about that?
Well, the year-to-year comps are going to make the inflation look less than what it might be in your household, okay? So the year-to-year comps are going to start to take some of the pressure out of that, I believe.
Okay.
Has the inflation peaked for individuals? I'm not sure that it has, because until we start to see the fuel prices come back and until we start to see food prices back off and that grocery bill come down, I mean, those are the two things, right? That's what the average family is paying most attention to. The increases in prices of other goods, you know, I'm thinking about, replacing a dishwasher or something like that.
Appliances.
That can be managed to a certain degree, but the Michelle Jones on the Free for All on Friday pointed out that the price of gas in California is now above the federal minimum wage.
Yes.
Oh.
Now one wonders, perhaps that's a convenient lever to raise that minimum wage.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
I don't want to put on my tinfoil hat just yet.
Yeah,
we're going to talk with Jordan Fife, but a big week last week on the fuel side.
Oh, absolutely. And it's going to be a big week this week for the biofuels. At the end of the week, EPA has got, by court order, has got to come with the renewable volume obligations on 2021-2022. It's widely expected that they are also going to be providing some guidance on the SREs. So we need to be watching for that as well. Davis, have a great day off, buddy.
Yes, sir. You as well.
Put a little pork on the grill, okay, man?
I believe I will. I'll put a lot of pork on the grill, in fact.
That sounds even better than a little bit. All right. Thanks for listening this morning. Stay tuned. We've got a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, up next right here on AgriTalk.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Machine Repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com or call 888-996-7801.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Memorial Day 2022. Glad that you are with us. And you know what? This is usually a pretty big weekend for Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Let's bring him in here. Greg, how are you today, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chip. How are you doing?
You know, I'm okay, but this is the first big parade weekend of the year. And that means that there is lots of mechanical eye candy out there on the streets of small town America, Greg. It's got to be a big weekend for you.
Yeah, definitely. Memorial Day right on through 4th of July into August. It's fun to see the vintage tractors out and hear the stories back through the families. I was just in Rushford, Minnesota last month, and they were telling me there that there's a summer event called Rushford Days, and the family, the dad had passed, but all the grandkids and great-grandkids would come and hop on one of Grandpa's tractors and drive it in the parade, and you could tell it was a piece of their lives. So, yeah, it's these small-town parades are something special.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you about that. What you like seeing along with that the vintage equipment out there, the family connection to the piece of equipment is so important. I love seeing that. And honestly, when I see it, Greg, I love the tractors that have got a placard on them, giving us just a little bit of history. Something to connect us to tell the story about that piece of equipment.
Yeah, for sure, Chip. I'm with you. The history, and you know, when I started 32 and a half years ago compiling auction prices, I was 23 years old, but I mean, I just had no clue what I'd be wading into over the decades and the depth of connection. I mean, I grew up small town farming, Benson, Minnesota. Dad was a farm equipment dealer, so I mean, I got it, but I didn't get it. So when over the years, when you just get a chance to talk to someone, or their, you know, a granddaughter, or a grandson, or a wife, or an uncle, and it's powerful stuff. And I remember in my hometown of Benson, we had a Memorial Day parade, and when I was in high school, I played in the marching band. I was not built for football, let's say. I weighed 160 pounds, break in half, but I played tuba. So I do remember marching through town with the school colors on and with the tuba playing patriotic songs. And, yeah, I mean, it's who we are. And the tractors, you know, one of the fun things over the years, Chips, and that I've seen, and one of them happened on Crop Tour. I had a guy come up to me in Rochester here at the ending event. Yeah. And he said, Pete, I got to show you something. And he got out his phone, which I sort of wish I could make a TV show out of. Tell me a story about the best picture on your cell phone. It's fascinating. But anyway, this guy, he zooms through and he goes, look at this. That's a check from 1954. And it was a check his grandfather wrote on his Super H. And it was something like, whatever, $1,952, and you could see his handwriting. Yeah. And we live in a digital age. We're all typing stuff, emailing, texting. But, hey, you know, like my dad is 84. His handwriting, is there's only one person in the world that writes the way my dad does. Right. And I save the notes he sends me because that is, I mean, that's your dad or your mom.
Yep.
And on this check, we got visiting, and I was like, man, can you imagine how much money that must have felt like in 1954? But the reason the guy did that, he's investing in his family and his farm, laying it all on the line. So that's what I think when I see these tractors roll by now. It's like, tip our hats to our forefathers who did what they did to make our country what it is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's you wonder why these vintage tractors show up in the parades across small town Iowa. You just explained it. Mm-hmm. It's at the heart of who we are, as you know, kind of the farming culture out here in the middle of the country, Greg. It that was,
you know,
well put, man.
I found interesting too over the years, Chip. I mean, you can relate. You're an Iowa guy. I'm a Minnesota boy. So particularly our parents' generation, you know, older, you know, not soapbox people in any, I mean, that'd be the farthest thing. They're not going to get up and brag about how great they are. Right. But I've always found it interesting, and I'm Scandinavian boy, so we maybe even quieter than most folks. But and we go around the country and we film TV or I interview on YouTube, and people almost 100% of the time will say, okay, Fred, we're just going to do a little interview now. And I get why then how they do it, but they'll say, oh gosh, you know, I don't know Greg. And,
yeah.
And they're just being themselves. They're reticent. They don't want to show their emotions on their sleeves or whatever. But when we turn and say, Hey Fred, tell me about your Super H. It's like a key goes into a lock that goes clunk and it pours out of them. It just, the connections, and they forget the camera's there. And I just listen. And I've always sort of felt like that's really the most important thing I can do, is just ask the question and just tell me about your dad, tell me about your tractor, Fred. And it's a powerful thing, and I just feel so honored to be able to have be a part of it all these years.
Yep, the memories come flooding out, no question. Mm-hmm. All right, so Memorial Day weekend, it's the unofficial start of summer, which means it is the unofficial end of spring. Sum up the spring auction season for us.
Well, I had started this way. So in the 32 years I've been doing this, I look for patterns and data. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, and you do too, with, you know, commodity prices and yields, and we all look for patterns. Obviously, we're in an interesting position in agriculture, but when I think of April and May over my 32 years, I think of softening prices. That's just the way it always was till about 3 years ago. Now it totally doesn't make any difference at this point. And so what I would tell you is April and May of 22, as hot as it was from November, December, January, February, March, it got hotter for all the reasons we've talked about week by week. So I've never seen buying heat this deep into the, you know, it's a late planting season for so many folks, but yeah, the market is just incredible.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to where we usually start. That's with the pick of the week. What do you got this week?
Well, the pick of the week is going to be example A of what I'm talking about. So a week ago, Saturday, Hamler, Ohio, little farm estate auction by our great friends at Whalen Realty and Auction, super auction company out there. Was on a state sale for Ronald Sonnenberg, and there was a 1980 John Deere 4040 tractor with 2,187 hours on it. Now, if I showed you a picture of it, you'd look at it and you'd go, oh, Machinery Pete is going to be writing about this record price. I assumed it would go for a record, and it did. It sold for $54,590. Now,
wow.
You know, Deere started making those things late 70s to the early 80s. So, I mean, they're 40 to 45 years old now. I have compiled a lot of auction prices on 4040s. The previous high, Chip, was $46,000 on a June 28th, 2014 collector auction in Bedford, Iowa. I thought it would never be topped. It was an open station, front-wheel drive restoration that would be driving in a Memorial Day parade and make everyone go,
yeah.
And that was $46,000 8 years ago. And again, a week ago Saturday, Hamler, Ohio, that 4040 went for, you know, $54,590. So that's what I'm talking about. That's how much the market's up.
Yeah, only beat the previous record by about 9,000 on that. That's
Yeah, that's quite a move. You know, you smash a record by 20%. I mean, what is that?
Yep.
I mean, I've got 32 years of records being broken by $500 or $1,000. Ooh, $2,500. Yeah. 9,000. Yep. That's just what it is now.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Okay, real quick, you posted a Machine Repeat blog here just recently. What was that all about?
Yeah, kind of a different take. It's kind of fun. It was a 1991 John Deere 435 round baler. Sold last December in Oklahoma auction. Only had 600 bales on it. Went for a record price of $13K, which is like kind of cool and right about that. But the guy who bought it was interesting. Dropped me a note. He said, "Hey Pete, here's some pictures of it. I'm getting ready to take it to the field." And he said, "You can see the paint's hardly worn off the pickup teeth." So, you know, 31 years old, a brand new baler heading back to the field. I was struck by the owner, his name was Kevin Lane, just excited to take this thing out to the field. And it was just joy. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, be sure to check that out. No question about it. Greg, happy Memorial Day. I know that you'll make it every bit of what Memorial Day should be. Thank you for making time for us, buddy.
Hey, always great to visit with you, Chip.
All right, that is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Come back. We'll have more right here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
If you have been to Arlington National Cemetery and have seen the rows of simple white headstones and watched the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the weight of Memorial Day and the responsibility that we share to recognize the sacrifice of fallen servicemen and women, it can almost become too heavy. At local ceremonies, with the families that you grew up with, went to 4-H meetings and to the county fair with, families that lost a piece of their heart when a member died while serving our country. Yeah, the responsibility can feel just as weighty. Don't let that responsibility become so heavy that you don't do something. If you are at work today because the crop is going in late or for whatever reason, there is a very simple way to show your respect. There is a national moment of silence on Memorial Day. It happens at 3 p.m. local time, so it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, no matter where you are at. And the moment of silence lasts 1 minute. It's just a minute. So climb out of the tractor, put the boat on the sandbar, just stop what you are doing, show your thanks, recall the memories, and celebrate the contributions of our fallen service members. And it's okay to celebrate and welcome in the unofficial start of summer. We all deserve that. But don't forget that this is a necessary memorial. It is necessary as a reminder of what built this country and what keeps the Star-Spangled Banner waving over the land of the free and the home of the brave. 3 o'clock your time this afternoon. Take 1 minute to remember those who died in military service to the United States of America.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Memorial Day 2022. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Obviously, Memorial Day is a day that we spend remembering members of the military that have died, and we say thank you to the family members of the fallen military. But May is also Military Appreciation Month. And joining us to help us mark Memorial Day and to celebrate the military is Rachel Pettit. Rachel is director for the Farmer Veteran Fellowship Fund. Rachel, welcome to AgriTalk.
Thank you so much, Chip. I'm happy to be here.
Glad that you are here with us on this Memorial Day. So, Rachel, the Farmer Veteran Fellowship Fund, what is it?
The Farmer Veteran Fellowship Fund is one of the premier programs of the Farmer Veteran Coalition. So it's our grant program where we're providing direct assistance to farmer veterans all over the nation and even in Guam and Puerto Rico. It's an application-based grant that opens once a year, usually around January. We have an application that our members can apply for, and they're requesting farm equipment between $1,000 and $5,000. And in the spring, FVC awards about $500,000 to veterans all over the nation to purchase all kinds of farm equipment.
All right. So the Farmer Veteran Coalition, let's take a step back and go to the coalition. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Farmer Veteran Coalition was founded in 2007 here in California. We work nationwide with about 34,000 veterans and active duty military that are interested in agriculture in whatever form that takes. So that can be farm ownership. We have folks that are taking over their family's farm as the fifth or sixth generation. We actually have sixth generation farmers. So people that are farming on the same piece of land for six generations, really amazing. And then we also work with a lot of first generation farmers, people that are separating from their military career. They're looking at what to do next. And there's a lot of overlap between military service and an agricultural career, a lot of hard work, a lot of mission driven, providing for your community, your country. So these folks are first generation. They haven't grown up on a farm, but they're ready to start that farm life. And we give them the skills and tools and funding they need to take that next step.
Yeah, very cool. The mission, mobilizing veterans to feed America. Tell us about that mission.
Yes, I love how active our mission is. We are really here to facilitate what the veterans and active duty military members want to achieve with their career. So we're here to provide that support so they can be mobilized. And the next part of our mission statement is that we cultivate a new generation of farmers and food leaders and develop viable employment and meaningful careers through the collaboration of the farming and military communities. Because we believe that veterans possess the unique skills and the character needed to strengthen rural communities and create sustainable food systems. We believe that agriculture offers purpose and opportunity and physical and psychological benefits. There's just so much overlap between military service and agricultural service.
Well, and we're here. It offers a reward to those that are using some of the services from the Farmer Veteran Coalition, right?
Definitely. All of our services are free. Membership to FVC is free for veterans. And once someone signs up through our website as a member, they have access to all of our services, which are webinars to learn technical assistance about irrigation or pest management. Also marketing tools, how to develop new revenue streams, whether that's starting a CSA or getting some restaurant accounts. And then, of course, the fellowship program, which offers actual money to purchase the equipment needed.
Is it available in every state, Rachel?
Yes. So we're in all 50 states, and we also have a lot of our 34,000 members. We have folks all over the world because we're working with people that are stationed overseas, and from a distance, they're managing their farms here in the states. Either their partner or their family member is back on the farm when they get deployed, or we have other folks that are in the U.S. territories that have also served our country. We have a hog farmer in Guam we were able to give a fellowship award to last year. So she used her $5,000 fellowship award to purchase some heritage breed hogs because it's important for her to bring some locally raised, veteran-raised meat to her community there in Guam.
Well, that's a real success story right there. I love hearing that. So the funding for the fellowship fund, where does that come from?
We mostly get private funding to support the fellowship fund. So a big sponsor of ours is Kubota Tractor Corporation. We are so grateful for the many ways they support us. They offer 5 pieces of equipment through our Geared to Give program, which is under the fellowship umbrella. We have folks apply for the possibility to get a Kubota tractor or UTV or ATV. And in addition, Kubota offers $50,000 that goes straight to fellowships that support more veterans. We also get a lot of funding from Wounded Warrior Project. They came on as our partner in 2020, and that's been just such a great partnership. And then we have other partners like Farm Credit that offer financial support, but also they give our members advisement on financial literacy and business planning. They're on hand for our members to give a call to a Farm Credit banking expert and get some real advice on how to manage their business's finances. And then we also get in-kind donations from equipment manufacturers. Like recently we've partnered with an amazing veteran-owned company based in New York called Homestead Implements. And they're in Jamestown, New York, making American-made tractor implements. And it's a veteran-owned company. So they donate 3 tractor implements to our fellowship program every year. And that's just such a wonderful connection because it comes full circle for us when we're able to offer fellowship awards to veterans and they use that funding to purchase from veteran-owned businesses. It really keeps the funding within the farmer veteran community, and it's a mutually beneficial relationship.
Fantastic. So the fund, who is it for? Is it for someone that's just getting started in farming, or is it also available to farmers that are veterans that are already up and running on a farm?
We try to keep the program accessible to all of our members since we have such a diverse array of members. But really, the fellowship is designed for people in their first few years of farming because we're purchasing equipment that's between $1,000 and $5,000. This $5,000 allows them to buy a walk-behind tractor. So instead of crouching down and hand planting every single transplant, now they have a BCS walk-behind tractor, an American-made walk-behind tractor that our $5,000 grant purchased for them. And it really makes their business more efficient. It makes their body safer and healthier, and it makes their business more profitable. So they're more likely to stay in that career.
Yeah. Well, and they're better able to fulfill the mission to help feed America. So great stuff. Great stuff. You mentioned the webinars. I'm interested in that. What kind of information is shared on these webinars?
We partner with a wide variety of people all over the country, sometimes with land grant universities like the University of California system or Cornell or Purdue. And we put on sometimes in-person on farm workshops, which would involve walking through a field and hearing from subject matter experts on irrigation or pest management. And then especially in the COVID era, we've pivoted a lot of those in-person field workshops to being virtual webinars, and that's actually just increased accessibility. Now, even the most rural veterans, we have rural veterans in Alaska that aren't near any land-grant university or any central institution in which a workshop might be hosted in person. So these folks can all log in for free and attend webinars where they're listening to like a Farm Credit banker talk about financial literacy and how to work with their numbers, or somebody else talking about cover cropping.
Very cool. Now I know some veterans that are very well established commercial farmers out there. Do you tap into that knowledge base out there of other veterans that are already farming and bring their knowledge to somebody that's just getting started?
Yeah, one of the coolest things we get to witness at Farmer Veteran Coalition is those moments of camaraderie where one veteran is introduced to another, whether it's through me, I email one person and introduce them to another, or in person at our national conference every year, and they're just chatting in the buffet line. And you see some are mentors and some are mentees. We have all service eras represented. So we've got farmers that have been doing this for a long time and they're able to offer advice and information sharing, apprenticeship opportunities, equipment sharing, all kinds of connections that happen. Even just the camaraderie itself, the solidarity is so important and it's so great to see.
Absolutely.
So FBC staff work really hard to pair up veterans with other folks in their community or even across the country that they can just chat with on the phone and get some real answers.
That is outstanding. So 2022, $470,000 in awards through the Farmer Veteran Fellowship Fund, 130 veterans, 41 states. That's all great news. Where can we go to learn more about it, Rachel?
If you visit our website, which is farmvetco.org, we have a bunch of tabs. We've got a way for any veteran listening to join for free. We've got a stories tab, which I really recommend perusing. There's amazing, inspiring stories on there matched with photos of folks in their service uniforms and figure out where to support a Homegrown by Heroes product.
Excellent, Rachel. Hey, thank you so much for making time for us. Happy Memorial Day.
Thank you so much. Happy Memorial Day.
All right, that's Rachel Pettit. She is the director of the Farmer Veteran Fellowship Fund for the Farmer Veteran Coalition. We'll, you know what? We'll be right back with more AgriTalk here in a moment. We've got Jordan Fife from BioUrja up next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back. Let's wrap up our first hour of AgriTalk on Memorial Day with a conversation about the energy markets. Joining us now is Jordan Fife. He is the president of trading at BioUrja. Jordan, welcome back.
Thanks, Chip. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Big reason that I wanted to get you on here is because there have been some not so subtle messages delivered by the Biden administration over the past couple of weeks. In testimony, Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland refused to answer the question, are gas prices too high? Also in testimony, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm said fuel prices for consumers will accelerate the transition to clean energy. And then last week, President Biden in Japan, and I thought Forbes did a really nice job of explaining it with the headline, Biden says the quiet part about the energy transition out loud. And basically Biden said that what we're going through is an incredible transition. Jordan, the administration isn't even trying to hide it anymore. They're not going to do anything to provide relief for these high fuel costs, are they?
Yeah, I don't believe they are. Well, I don't believe they are, and I don't know how much they could do, to be honest with you, Chip. I've always been a big proponent of high prices and low prices fix each other, right? And if you really look at the numbers, the U.S. oil production right now is at 11.6 million barrels per day. The all-time high was 12,300,000 barrels per day. So we're not too far off the all-time highs of production. So how do you increase it more? And which of the levers does the United States government actually own? So the first one I think that's hindering us to increase the oil production is uncertainty around regulations. Ding, ding, ding. That is what Biden can help with. If he can give more certainty around what regulations loom in the next 2 years or possibly six, that would help the industry a lot. The other things that, unfortunately, I don't think the government can do much on is the things that are affecting all markets right now, which are supply chain issues, worker shortages. This one is a unique one that a lot of people don't talk about, but there is an increase in investor pressure to get away from crude oil investments. And I don't think the administration can do much about that. But let's circle back to the first one with those uncertainties around regulations. That's the big one that the Biden administration can come out and say, hey, look, we do want to be green eventually, but we understand right now that this is an extenuating circumstance that we have with the Ukraine-Russia situation. And in that time, we will do anything and everything in our power to help ease regulations, ease burdens on people that need to drill, whether it's on federal land or not. And that will help ease the prices. They've tried to release the strategic petroleum reserves. That did nothing. They've talked about RDP waivers. That did a little bit to quash the markets, but in 2 days, they were back up. The fact of the matter is, until we increase production, increase refinery utilization, and have demand fall off enough, we're going to see elevated prices.
Jordan, do we need to encourage more production, or do we need to make it easier? Do we need to increase our refining capacity?
Well, that's a great question. And unfortunately, since 2020, we have reduced our refining capacity by 1,035,000 barrels. So we've decreased in the last 2 years in refining capacity. Unfortunately, we're going to continue in refining capacity. Houston Refining, about Lyondale, about a month ago announced that they would be closing shop. So the trend will be continue to decrease refinery utilization. And if you look at the Northeast, the refineries are older. They need maintenance. They probably are the next to go. And if you keep decreasing refinery utilization and you're not increasing the green energy at an equal pace, well, again, prices should remain elevated.
And the red tape to start or increase our refining capacity, the red tape has got to be a mile thick on that.
It's real thick, but again, it goes back, Chip. There's an unseen little thing that's happening right now where it's bank driven. It's not as much, I think.
Yes,
and it is. It is. It is a lot on the red tape. Don't get me wrong, but the other half of that coin, the other side of that coin, is the fact that banks are saying, "Hey, we want more of green portfolio. We want more sustainable aviation fuel, more renewable diesel, more of that in our portfolio, less oil." So until they get attracted to it, that's a big hindrance. The other part of this is if you look at how fast we're increasing rigs and everything like that, which is fast, but you also have companies, giant oil companies, that have seen that if they just rush to increase production, they're going to chase their margin down. So they have become much more focused on returning money to their investors versus increasing production. I can't blame them for that. They've had years of hardship. You know, we had, we had 5 years almost where oil barely peaked above $60. They've got a time now, and it's just like, you know, let's take it back to farming. If you're over $8 corn, well, heck, that's a great day, right? Over $100 crude for these guys is fantastic. They're trying their best to return their money to their investors, and they're doing it with a dwindling investor pool. So I think they're doing what's best for them right now.
The other thing are the incentives for the oil company leadership. It's moved away from produce more, and make more to move those profits to the investors that we've got, right? And
so, that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
it's truly, truly astonishing. I also did some analysis work coming into this about what high prices really mean for demand. You know, and I think that's something that a lot of people don't take into consideration. Everyone says, oh, you know, these high prices are going to just drive demand to zero. That's not the case. I went back to 2008, Chip, when we had $145 crude oil. And what does that mean to demand? What does it mean to summer driving demand coming up, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at 2008, we had $145. And if you look at 2007, well, what was the price in 2007? The average price in 2007 was $72 a barrel. The average price in 2008 was 99.75. The high was 145. Let's extrapolate that to right now.
Yeah.
2021, the average cost of a barrel of oil was $68. So remember, in 2007, the year before it peaked, 72. In 2021, the year before now, 68. Very similar.
Okay.
Yep. The average cost in 2022 so far this year is $99, Chip. Remember the average cost in 2008? $99.75.
Yep.
So they're almost exactly congruent right now. If you look at the difference between 2007 and 2008 in demand, it's about 3.5% to 4% down. And we're seeing that right now. So I think that's what you're going to see in terms of demand lag for 2021 versus 2022. This summer, I think it's going to be off about 3.5-4% in demand for 2022. Is that enough to drive the price of oil and crude down? I don't think so. I think you need a larger decrease in demand in order to really drag that price down. Again, I remain bullish until otherwise.
Jordan, I'm not sure anybody explains this stuff better than you do. Thank you, my friend.
Anytime, Chip. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That is Jordan Fife, president of trading at BioUrja. Have a great Memorial Day, everybody. Come back this afternoon, 2:06 Central. We've got a conversation with Scott Davis from Bullpen Trading.